Oh, welcome back, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Do you need to cough? Cough now or forever hold your spleen. At least you turned away when you coughed. I appreciate that. I didn't get any
You explained to him spit. That he's not supposed to reference things that happened that were not good on the air.
I like to cough. I think you have a great cough. Aaron Graffy talking Fiesta. Our phone number 564-1290. After the program, RadioRealEstate.com. In fact, if you missed the first half of the program, you can turn on the webcast. Not the webcast, podcast on the website and listen to it at your leisure. So I mentioned Charles Presley, no relation to Elvis. He had a house up on Mesa, very old, stately house on Hudson. Just came up for the second time in the last year or so. What was Charles Presley's relation to Fiesta?
Well, if it's that, probably sounds like Chuck Presley, and it was his grandfather by the same name, Charles Presley, who was one of the founders of Fiesta. And actually, he was the first managing director the first year and ran it. And he was sort of the impresario, I guess, for Fiesta. He used to put on the Fiesta show, bowl show. Many of you remember riding that or performing in that. And he was great. He was not from this area. I think he grew up in Alabama, then came to Los Angeles, and then came to Santa Barbara. But he loved everything that was the old Spanish days. And like I said, he was the impresario in a sense that helped dress it and fuel the fire for the passion of all things historical in the old Spanish days of the 19th century. So he had a big, big, big part of it for the entire, basically, until his death. I think it was in the 1955 or in the mid-50s anyway.
Tragically trampled by a horse, wasn't he? No. Now, I do. You might want to put on your headset. We have a caller with a question for you or not. And good morning, Ralph. Thanks for calling Radio Real Estate.
Hi.
Hi.
Questions for Aaron?
Ralph.
I have this chinchilla named Jim Jim, and I want to take him to the parade. Do you know any place where I could get a costume for Jim?
Yes, I think Victorian Vogue has a costume for all sizes.
I love your show, Aaron. I just wanted to call and let you know I'm listening.
Thanks.
Ralph?
Yes.
This is my show.
I know. I'm sorry.
Say your show, Mark. That's what he gets for referencing my cough on the air.
That's true. It's payback.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for letting me talk. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. I have some history. You know, I came here in 1977. I always felt a little left out. But I have some photographs. I should have brought them. My uncle was in the 1931 Fiesta Parade. Uncle Joe, dressed either as Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett. I'm not quite certain if anyone could tell the difference. And he was in the parade. I have pictures of him. And he was like 21. His kid brother, my Uncle Sid, was 17, dressed in a Federa hat, suit, sweater, in the middle of Fiesta in August of 1931.
Oh, great.
They hitchhiked here from Brooklyn.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, I think that's the fun of Fiesta, is in the parade that while we're saying we're celebrating our 19th century, the old Spanish days, that the whole town sort of adopts this culture as their own. So no matter what your background was, you know, a kid from Brooklyn or I guess my family, Irish and German, you know, everybody gets a chance to perform. You know, it's kind of interesting when you're in other communities that have fiestas, it's the people who have maybe a Mexican background, Spanish background only, and they sort of are the performers. But here, boy, everybody's part of it. When you think of over the years at Fiesta, who's been involved and who kicked off things, Maria Margelli, who started the whole arts and crafts thing, that was a Fiesta phenomena. Now the city runs it, but Italian lady. So
you know, I didn't want to bring it up, but you kind of reminded me, you know, people wanting to embrace Fiesta so much, and you with your passion for the Hispanic history of Santa Barbara, you go as far as to marry a Hispanic man just to get
that name.
The last name.
Yeah,
it's
that's
just
right.
So
I could be the cool. I could be cool
God,
for that.
It's
week.
Just to no end to your quest for embracing Santa Barbara's Hispanic cast. Aaron Graffy de Garcia.
There we go. So if you've got enough room or enough time on the show, you can say the whole name. Otherwise, you just stop after Aaron. So
well, all right, we're going to get back to Fiesta. We probably don't have time to talk about what's that lady's name who everyone loves? Pearl Chase. And I started a really negative thing going with this email to Maria McCall, who held a job at the Korea Rec Center.
Well, Pearl Chase was involved with Fiesta in the beginning.
She
was helping to bring what they considered sort of these young ladies. Some people call them flower girls, but the official flower girls didn't start till the 48-49. But Pearl's flower girls, sort of funny considering where you think this would be going. Her flower
the
girls
professional
had,
girls? Is that what we're talking about?
No, they had trays of cigarettes and candy that they would sell. But of all things cigarettes, you just wouldn't associate that with Pearl Chase. And they would greet all the visitors that came off the trains, because that would have been the primary mode of transportation through the 20s decade and the 30s decade, so before, you know, cars really took over.
Chocolate and nicotine. Pearl was a chain smoker, wasn't she?
Don't know that one.
you never see a picture of her with a cigarette. It's like FDR without his wheelchair.
Oh, that could
she was
be.
Always holding it to the side, but I think you could tell by her stained fingers.
So she was involved in there, but you were saying some of the other impacts of her Fiesta, and I wanted to address some of those. One of the things is the nonprofits that fill primarily the Mercados, and there's some other aspects around town, such as the Our Lady of Guadalupe Church that has a Fiesta in connection with ours. Wonderful food and entertainment there as well. All part of the whole community-wide Fiesta. And this is huge, huge money for many of the nonprofits. For some of them, it's a little bit of extra income. For some of the nonprofits, it's their primary fundraiser. Hmm. And collectively, again, this was very conservative figures from 5 years ago, was around $600,000 to $700,000 that these nonprofits raised to, you know, everything from social services to youth activities, seniors activities, arts activities. So this is a huge, huge component of Old Spanish Days, and this goes back with its history when, I guess it was John Ricard, when he was presidente, that he installed these mercados and invited the nonprofits to be participating in those.
Was he the big Ricard? Is he buried at the mission? Is that the Ricard?
Yes, that was a family going back to the, they were related to the De La Guerras and Arañas. I guess they're in the Araña adobe. Oops, one of them will call in right now and correct me if I got that wrong, but old-time family, definitely old-time family. And Judge Ricard was really, I think, one of the man of the century, frankly, for all that he did. But one of the wonderful things he did, he was a very young El Presidente, but because of his own Spanish roots, did a whole lot to bring a lot of history and inject that throughout the Old Spanish Day celebration. And one part of that was putting these mercados there, and a benefit was the nonprofits coming in to earn money. Hmm. Then, of course, a separate thing is this is how huge this is for the arts. A lot of the dance studios that basically make their living off of Fiesta, because while Spanish dancing, even flamenco, is popular throughout California, nowhere is it even close to the range and the variety of dance that we have here and the expertise that these kids have. I think this is, as a performer myself, I find it fascinating to think of, you've got these young kids who are learning their Spanish dance. Okay, it's Fiesta time. Most studios outside of Santa Barbara, you would have your once or twice a year recital, and you're going to get up on stage and pound around and then go off. But in Santa Barbara, you're dancing for all different sizes of audiences, thousands of people at the mission, thousands of people at the courthouse. Then the next day, they're rustling off to go over to one of the, perhaps the senior homes, where they're dancing in a very small area, one-third, one-fourth the size, one-tenth the size of some of the other stages. And the kids have to learn to adapt. Right away. I mean, all of a sudden to realize that you've got to smile, you've got to have your wits about you, and if you practiced in a big, huge area, now it's twice as big. The next time it's, you know, exactly one percentage smaller. Mm-hmm. And this is tremendous training for the kids. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in the article in the news press, being a news press station here, in the scene section, they had an article on Roberto Amaral, who's a wonderful professional who performs all over the place.
I know, Bob.
And he has about half of his performing troupe are from Santa Barbara, and he talks about Santa Barbara being one of the phenomenal influences on flamenco dance and the caliber of the students coming out of this place. So here's a guy who's performing all over the country and all over the state and certainly has seen his share of everything, and to be able to make that comment about Santa Barbara is really spectacular.
You're really painting a picture of a huge economic impact Fiesta has on Santa Barbara. Costs a lot to put on, but a huge venue for nonprofits.
Huge return. Return on investment. Hotels. Huge. Huge. Absolutely.
What I want to figure out is how I can start making some money out of Fiesta.
Hmm.
Well, maybe you and me, we could
go. You have a summer fiesta sale on your houses, maybe?
You know, there are people. I see ads renting out your house for fiesta for a week or a month. That's true. People do.
Ooh, that would work. That would work.
People do rent out the house. In the paper a while back, was there was kind of a feud between Fiesta and Summer Solstice, and one of them was getting more money than the other, and there was a little... Did you read that? You know about that?
Oh, yeah, sure. That has to do with the funding, the community promotions funding that the city gives to various organizations, and the squabble. I can't really say it's a squabble between, because it's not against Solstice. I mean, if Solstice gets more money or less money, that's a different argument than the share that Fiesta is going to get, but I don't think they stated perhaps their case well enough. And the other thing was different groups ask for an incremental increase, and Fiesta hadn't been doing that. So there was this orientation towards the whole thing a number of years ago where we won't ask the city every year for money. To tell you the truth, I argued it against it because I knew better. But I said, you don't. The thinking was, we won't ask the city for an increase. We're going to wait till we really, really need it. And then we'll come in and ask for the increase and say, look, we haven't asked for an increase for 5 years, 8 years, and now we really need something. And my point was, you need to keep up with inflation, just because then it becomes an automatic part into your budget, meaning that for the nonprofit, in this case, Fiesta. And the second thing is, the year that you might need that increase, which we were looking at this year, the city may not be in a position to do it. So you've cut yourself off, basically, you know, at the foot by doing that.
They should have taken a lesson from the people who wanted to put in the third lane from Caltrans when the money was available, and now it's not.
Always making a way to get the the real estate in there.
As I was driving to my open house in Montecito yesterday at 1:30, and I was like backed up in Gaviota.
An hour and a half past. So that was the reason why. And certainly, like as I mentioned, for Fiesta, among all the events, and you can't compare them, because let's say 4th of July, which cost a whole lot more to the city that they're putting out for a one-day event, but I wouldn't want to say, oh, well, look at Fiesta does much more for the city. We should get more or different or, you know, than compared to 4th of July, because it's a different kind of event. And I embrace everything that the city gives for 4th of July, because I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. However, the fact remains was, yes, that actually Solstice was getting more money. But
did you say siesta or fiesta?
Fiesta.
Okay.
Watch your language. And I didn't know if that was an editorial over there. But anyway, the amount of money that Solstice gets is their own argument. They don't say, oh, we're going to look at Fiesta compared to Solstice, compared to something else. It's, you know, it's just how the funding happens for each individual group.
Well, speaking of funding, we're kind of running out of time. Do you have anything you want to just wrap up in the last minute, either about Fiesta or about your upcoming yacht club book?
I'll wait till a little further along that, but we'll just talk that... Yes, I hope everybody gets a chance to enjoy Fiesta at whether you go to one thing or all things. I think it's a tremendous community rally, even for those. Oh, here's a great story. A number of years ago, Fiesta had the insurance crisis. The insurance raised from $6,000 to $60,000. Overnight, it went huge. Well, there's no way we could accommodate that. This was around, I believe, 1987. And what I think is the charm of Fiesta and how we really do identify with Fiesta, this used to have bumper stickers. Santa Barbara was the Fiesta City. Mm. So there was a chance that we weren't going to be able to put on Fiesta. And people from all over the community started writing into the news press, sending in money to Fiesta and saying, well, I haven't been to Fiesta for, you know, 30 years. It's too many people these days. But by God, this is our Fiesta. This belongs in Santa Barbara. And that doesn't mean I don't want it to happen. I still remember it when I was a kid back in, you know,
really?
37. I thought that was too sweet. Yes.
Well, you know, we like to complain about things, but we want them to stay the way they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we could, we could stay here all day and chat. I love having you on. Erin Graffy. Look for her books and her cough in a local store near you. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. She's leaving. I'm staying here for the fourth quarter, where we'll discuss the weekly sales update and a little bit look at the past quarters and review, and talk about how you can get a home price comparison index to figure out where you could what your house would be worth anywhere across the country. Erin, thanks for being here.
So long.
So
adios.
Long.
And bye-bye. Viva la fiesta.
Adios. And you guys stay tuned, because I'll be back for the fourth quarter. Thanks.